views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, creativity, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, authors, healers, and speakers helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all of the show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. Well, today's show is about something that we all share, a common experience of life that is unavoidable, and in fact, it is a central part of life, which is loss and grief, and how we deal with the process of loss and grief. Even though we know that this is part of life and that everything living must also eventually transition, it is still incredibly hard to go through profound loss and grief of over losing our loved ones. It can hurt our spirit. It can make us numb or dead inside. We can lose ourselves and lose our vitality and our dynamicism. But there's just no avoiding it. And so one of the struggles of this human existence is finding ways to cope. Finding ways to push through the pain and to find gratitude for our lives and to find meaning for these experiences. And this is why I'm very pleased to welcome Nina C. Payne onto the Lucid Planet Radio show today. She is a poet, a novelist, a wife, a mother of two, and a registered yoga instructor. And her love of yoga goes way beyond just the physical postures. She really is into studying the philosophy, the psychology, and the physiology of yoga. And I just got done reading her debut novel, Moments in Time, which is strongly inspired by her real life experiences. And it's a really wonderful, beautiful, heartfelt story. Having lost her brother to cancer and then her father 4 months later to a broken heart, her novel really explores the obstacles that many of us face and the courage that it takes to overcome these obstacles in the face of such extreme pain and loss. So today we will go from talking about something that she mentions in the book, which is merely existing, to really living, even in the face of incredible pain and grief and loss. And we're going to talk also about Nina's personal journey of how yoga really helped her to get back to herself, as well as writing, I imagine. So let's please welcome Nina to the show. Welcome, Nina. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I guess we should just get right into it. For those of our listeners who haven't read the book yet, can you tell them a little bit about your story and why you decided to write Moments in Time?
Well, you know, after, as you mentioned, I had lost my brother to cancer in 2012, and then 4 months later, I lost my father, and I fell into the deepest, darkest place I could ever imagine. I could have never imagined it. And after my father had passed, it was probably about 7 or 8 months later, it was the anniversary of the exact week of my brother's death. We were in Boston, and I was down to 89 pounds, and I was just grieving and in so much pain, and I never understood how anybody could feel this amount of pain and get to the other side of it. And people would tell me, you know, you have your children, you have your husband, you have this life, it's really good. And it really fell upon deaf ears. And so when we were in Boston, for some reason, I just started to feel like some glimmers of hope. I was feeling inspired by the city. It was my first time there. And maybe it was getting away from, you know, where I was and where a lot of the heartache was. And there was this line in this poem that I had written many years earlier that said, the final line said, my dear friend, in the simplicity of life, all the opposites are equal. And that just kind of stayed with me as we would walk around the city and visit various places. And I thought, why is this just sticking in my head? And then it occurred to me that if the pain I was feeling and the grief I was feeling was so deep and so powerful, that the opposite of that had to be true. Thus the line, my dear friend, in the simplicity of life, all the opposites are equal. So there had to be something of equal or greater value, an awakening, a blossoming, a joy, a love like I had never felt before, if I could feel this much grief and sadness and pain. Mm-hmm. And so when we came back to California, where I live, I sat down and I started writing. And it was like the floodgates had opened, and for 4 to 5 months, I couldn't stop writing. Moments in Time, like you had mentioned, is inspired by real-life events, but it is a novel. And so it has my brother's story intertwined in there. We were so incredibly close, so the loss of him, and I was incredibly close to my father as well, so the loss was felt on such a deep level. And that's how Moments in Time was born. So, again, it is a novel, but a lot of the all of the emotions of the story are very true and very authentic and very raw.
Wow. I mean, that's definitely something that resonated for me as I was reading it. And I also found it was very easy to read. It really had a nice flow to it, and it just kind of like carried you along on this journey. So I can definitely see the flow that you were experiencing writing it, that you just kind of like poured your heart and your emotions into this project. And I think that's a wonderful sometimes way to cope, is to push it out.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, when we write or we do anything that creates movement, whether it be yoga, writing, whatever our creative outlet is, it keeps the energy moving. Instead of being stuck where I was stuck, and the energy was stuck in my heart is where I felt it the most. It was just this pain in my chest that for a brief second when I would wake up in the morning, it would be gone. But then as soon as I would remember, it would be there and it would sit with me for the entire day. So keeping that energy moving and flowing is very important to our well-being.
Absolutely. So like you said, the inspiration came when you were traveling, moving your body, mm-hmm. moving your mind, moving your energy. All really important ways to unstick yourself. And of course, the irony is when we are experiencing extreme pain and grief, we almost want to kind of hunker down and stay still. We don't want to let anything in because, you know, it can be so painful. But sometimes what we really need is the thing that we're fighting the most.
And right.
This is
so
a process
true.
That takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess I think that, you know, so many of us have lost people close to them to cancer. My brother was diagnosed with lymphoma at 36, and he is in remission right now. But, you know, they caught it at stage 2B. But, you know, even the concept of somebody close to us, losing them so early, so young, to something that we have so little power over, it can be incredibly scary. And it can change the way we view the world. And I'm sure that having your brother be diagnosed and then going through this entire process and losing him, it must have really changed your outlook on life and the way you see life.
It definitely did. And I think initially it made me very fearful. I became very protective of my kids and people that were really close to me. And it put me in a very vulnerable position. But through time and learning to embrace the pain and actually make the pain my companion for a while, and I stopped resisting it, and I was like, okay, it's here. It's going to be with me for a while. Let me get to know it and understand it and start to peel back the layers of it. So as time went on and I began getting back to my yoga mat, I began writing again, and I began feeling again and tasting food again and seeing the sights around me and enjoying my children again, things started to move and open up for me. And I started to live a more fearless life. And I thought, what am I waiting for? Look what happened to my brother at such a young age. He was diagnosed at 48. things can change at a moment's notice. And while we don't have control over what life throws our way, we do have control over how we react to it. And we do have control over how we live each day and each moment of our life. So I made a decision then that I'm going to start living each day truly to the fullest. And it may sound cliche, but for those of us who've gone through it and have experienced that kind of pain, it's not cliche at all. It becomes a way of life. So I began to do the things that I would put off. Like, and a silly example, and maybe it's not so silly, is, you know, when I was a young girl, I had wanted to play the drums, but in society at that time and coming from a more traditional family, my parents were like, girls don't play drums. So I played the violin instead, but now I'm taking drum lessons and I'm enjoying every second of it. Yeah, it's just like, why put it off? I always used to say in my next life, I want to be a rock star. So, you know, I want to play drums now. It doesn't have to go anywhere, but I just love the drums. So it's about, you know, just don't put things off. This is it. You know, embrace the moment, embrace the day, and live a full life.
I think that's such wonderful advice. And unfortunately, it takes going through the extreme tragedy to really understand how important it is to empower yourself to live life to the fullest. And, you know, channeling that pain into music is such a great idea as well. I think that, you know, anytime we're in that creative flow, it allows us to kind of completely hone in on the creativity, and suddenly, you know, we get a respite from the pain. And then when we come back to the pain, we kind of gain a higher perspective or a better perspective on the pain. And I think that's so important. We are going to head to the break right now. And as soon as we come back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, we are going to talk more to author and yogini Nina C. Payne about the power of yoga to overcome grief and other strategies for overcoming grief and loss. And we are also going to talk more about her story through the fiction book Moments in Time, and kind of more about that process. So stick with us, and we'll be right back after the break. See you then.
Solution is my queen, cause she's stay strong. Yeah, yeah. She is always in my corner, right there when I wanna. All these other girls are tempting.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Are Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune into the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community. Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is coming up right around the corner on October 24th from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. with free admission located at the North Seattle Community College in the Conference Center. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. You won't want to miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org and we'll see you there.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
My one solution is my queen, 'cause she's this strong. Yeah, yeah, she is
always. We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Nina C. Payne, who is talking with us about her journey of healing from incredible loss and grief and turning this into something positive and creative. Before we continue, I just want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, Nina. Could you give us your website or contact info so that they can find out more about your book and your writing and the sequel to the book and maybe any speaking engagements or book signings that you're doing?
Yes, definitely. My website is Nina C. Payne, and my last name is spelled P-A-Y-N-E, first name N-I-N-A, and .com. That's my website. And from there, you can link into my Facebook, which I post on both my website and my Facebook, primarily my Facebook, a lot of poetry and essays. And and that page has really gone, it's kind of exploded. I started it in November, and now I have 25,000 followers, which is,
wow.
I think, I know, right? It shocked me. I remember when I got to 200, I was like, 200 people like my work? I was like, wow.
It's crazy,
I was,
isn't
like,
it?
Floating.
The power of the internet to connect one another to inspiring content. But I think that's a testament to the fact that what you're putting out there is something that many of us share, and many of us are seeking healing and inspiration. And knowingly or unknowingly, you've kind of become someone who can be a guide to many people who are also going through suffering. And so that's a huge blessing. So congratulations.
It really is. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the book, Moments in Time, because there's a couple of really interesting things happening in the book. And one of them that we talked about a little during the break, which is that the protagonist, Cassandra, she's torn between her husband of 16 years, who she really loves, and they have two kids together, and a new man who's come into her life, who she shares this deep and unexplainable connection with. And she experiences a lot of conflict and confusion. And of course, reading this, I couldn't help but think about polyamory. You know, many of the listeners know my partner James and I, we are polyamorous, so we believe in multiple loves and intimacy with multiple partners. And obviously you can listen to those shows on the website, lucidplanetradio.com. But as I was reading this, I couldn't help but think that maybe this would be a way for Cassandra to reconcile her feelings for the two, because really it is possible to love multiple people very deeply, although differently. And it can be a huge source of conflict when these people come into our lives and we can't express it. So we talked a little bit about it during the break, but I would love to hear your thoughts on air about the potentials of that.
You know, in the book, Cassandra, of course, is very conflicted. And there's a scene in the book where she just finishes you know, I don't mean to be too explicit, but there's a love scene with her and her husband in the shower, and she's thinking about Daniel, the other man, during this encounter with her husband, even though she still is very present with her husband and very engaged with what's going on there. And then when she comes out of the shower, she's sitting on her bed and wrapped in the towel, and she's thinking to herself, you know, what are these feelings? You know, where are they coming from? Does one love transcend the other? And she's so conflicted and having such a hard time making these two worlds, you know, she wants them to complement, but they contradict according to society standards and according to the agreement that she entered into with her husband. So she goes through a huge amount of conflict. And so it's an interesting perspective, because can we, is there only one true love? And it, and if another love comes into our life, are we contradicting ourselves? Are we lessening the love that we have for the other person? These are interesting questions that come up. So, yeah, it is a conflict that she has throughout the book, and she has her friend Mark that kind of is trying to help guide her along, because it is creating turmoil within herself, because she also has two children to think about and questioning her standards and her morals and her ethics and her values, and I don't necessarily think they're based on that type of I want to say so-called morality.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, as someone who has cheated and been cheated on and been through the whole gamut of all of these different relational issues, the guilt and the conflict can be so intense. And for me personally, admitting to myself that I am just not monogamous in that way, that I can't make those agreements, and that really the problem stems from making agreements that are not in alignment with my truest self and with my heart. It's been a very liberating process. And I'm not saying it's for everyone. It can be really challenging. But in many ways, you know, a lot of the times when we do our workshops, people always ask, you know, is it more spiritual to be polyamorous, or is it more spiritual to be monogamous? And it's not really a question of which is more. It's more a question of how you conceptualize what your experiences are. And so for me, being polyamorous, it's recognizing this abundance of love that exists in the world, and this like abundance of healing that you have when you make these deep connections, and the blessing that people can give to your life when they come into your life, and kind of being honest and open about yourself and your feelings, and how that really does make you more accountable. And it also kind of makes you accept yourself in many ways. You know, our sexuality has been so repressed and kind of manipulated, and I don't know. So I feel like in many ways, because Cassandra definitely strikes me as a spiritual being. And so I always wondered as I was reading it, if, you know, maybe this would be some way for her to resolve things in the future, but who knows? I'm just throwing it out there. yeah. And I guess the other question is, basing off of that, is, you know, a lot of the book is your emotions and your experiences. How much of it is fact, and how much of it is actually fiction?
You know, I think Stephen King sums it up best when he says that fiction is the truth between the lies. That's like a cop-out, right? But there is so much truth in the story, and again, there's a lot of exaggerations, and I think it would be very, you know, I was discussing this with my husband the other day. We were discussing nonfiction. I think it would be so incredibly difficult to write a nonfiction story based on someone's life, unless you're writing like historical fiction and a historical event, which it's actually fact and it's there and you can prove that happened, because our perceptions are so different. And what I was feeling and experiencing back then, my perception of it now as I write about it could be skewed, or someone else who was living that with me, their perception of it could be different than what mine was. So the reality is different. So I think it would be so difficult to write something that is, you know, like a memoir that's really true. So I guess that's why my novel took off into just, you know, different storylines and different tales and kind of exaggerations and things So really, I leave it to the reader, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They can kind of take away what is meaningful to them. Maybe it's something they've experienced, something they've gone through. What is the truth for them in the story? But I can guarantee the readers that when they are reading it, there is something they will be able to relate to, and there is that the emotions will grab them because they are true.
Yeah. So I have to ask, we only have a few minutes before we go into the next break, mm-hmm. but I'm always curious because I dabble. I'm a writer and working on some projects right now, and I'm wondering from your perspective, you know, what do your friends and family and everyone think about the book? If they're kind of, if they think that you're talking about them, or, you know, what was their reaction to the book?
Oh, gosh, it's been across the board. It's been very interesting because with some people it's been divisive, and with some people it's been like, wow, you know, it's, and people want to know from close to distant, you know, what is true, what isn't true, did this happen, this, you know, what occurred, and you know, I just kind of keep that, I hold the cards, like they say, close to my chest, and, you know, that's, as a writer, my creative process, once I put it out there, is sort of over, and now it's up for the reader to interpret what it means to them and how it affects their life and what meaning it brings to their life. But yeah, I got a call from a girlfriend in Oklahoma who, so funny, she's one of, I've known her since I was 8 years old, and she says, did Walter cheat on you? And that's my husband in real life. And I'm like, he did?
Right, exactly. Well, I mean,
book.
That's it. It's definitely that, and this is part of it. Is and what about your kids? Very quickly, we have like a minute to go. But
my kids are my greatest fans. Of course, they haven't read the entire book, because there's some points of it which is not interesting to them as teenagers. They don't want to know their mom in that situation. But they are my greatest fans and very proud of me. So that feels good.
Well, that's wonderful. And what about your husband?
He loves it. He was the one that encouraged me to publish it. I never had any intentions of publishing it. And he says, we are publishing this book.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, that's great.
Amazing.
Well, I'm Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. When we come back, Nina C. Payne, author, will explain to us more about the healing power of yoga. So stay tuned, and we will be right back after this short break.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com, or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Let the transition begin. Tune in to the hit show, Majestic Insights Radio, Success for Life's Transitions, with host Carrie Keith. Carrie is a gifted intuitive coach, healer, and teacher who will lead you through her empowering techniques of ancient wisdom and awareness so you can live your happiest, healthiest, and most vibrant life. Let Carrie teach you the tools of transformation that will help you experience success for all of life's transitions. To learn more about Carrie, visit www.majesticinsights.com.
I'm alright, nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm alright, don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me?
Oh yeah, we are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I have author Nina C. Payne here, author of Moments in Time. And we are talking for this segment about the amazing healing powers of yoga to get us through extreme grief and loss. So Nina, how long have you been doing yoga and teaching yoga?
I've been practicing yoga since 1997 and I've been teaching since 2004.
Wow. You know, I started about 10 years ago. I'm not a teacher yet, but you must have so much insight into the hows and the why of, you know, why really yoga can be so healing. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, when I first began yoga, it's interesting because it was when I actually had started living with my husband, and he would be doing yoga. He was practicing Iyengar yoga at the time, which is a kind of yoga, and I was always athletic and was into sports and different things, and I would go out for a run saying I'm going to go do some real exercise. And then I started doing some of the poses he was doing, and he would look like a Zen monk and I would look like I'm sucking on a lemon. I'm like, wow, this is intense. And that intrigued me, and that's what started my journey into yoga and practicing yoga. And even though at first I looked at it as this physical endeavor and almost like a competition, and over time, I realized it was so much more than that, and I realized that it was affecting me in ways I could have never imagined in terms of calming me and the way I felt after. We call it that, the yoga brain or the yoga high, the way I would feel centered and calm and really more energized than I would after a run. After a run, I would feel depleted and would have to restore, you know, whatever energy I just depleted, whereas with yoga, I would gain energy as I go. And when I was done, I felt energized for my day. So it was affecting things. And as I started learning more about the philosophy and the physiology and the psychology of it, it all started to make sense, is that yoga is something that fills us on every level that we can imagine, emotional, physical, psychological, spiritually, and it embraces all walks of life, which is another beautiful thing about yoga, is it doesn't discriminate. I had written this article for the Portland Book Review, and then one of the things I had read in there is that yoga is like the great equalizer. When we come to our mats, we're all equal. It doesn't matter. You know, you could have a person who's been a bodybuilder, but when they get on that mat, it's a humbling experience because everybody is equal on that mat, no matter our age, no matter our athletic ability. We all become equal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you brought up, too, that this goes way beyond just physically looking good. You know, that's because yoga is so trendy and popular now, there's many people who they're really doing this as like a hardcore like workout fitness regime. And at first it can kind of lack the depth of the intention and the understanding of kind of what you're doing. And then it seems like as you go more deeply into it, you start to experience different components of things happening, right?
Most definitely. As you go on, and it's not something that really a teacher can even teach, the student has to experience it themselves. Of course, the teacher is the guide and can, you know, offer certain insights as to, you know, the breath, which is something that is always available to us and is something that we can, of course, we have it with us wherever we go. So the simple act of reminding ourselves to breathe deeply throughout our day, for me, is an act of yoga. Being mindful and present with those around us and in our interactions and being kind is a form of yoga. So no matter what we're doing, whether even just another example, you're at a stoplight and you're waiting for it to change, engaging your pelvic floor muscles, that's an act of yoga. So there, yoga can be with us throughout our entire day. It's not something like we have to carve out, okay, I have to do 90 minutes in the morning. No, you can take yoga throughout your entire day and incorporate it even if you're in an office job. You can do simple twists and forward bends and back bends and lubricate your joints while you're sitting there at your desk. So it's the most accessible form of I don't want to call it an exercise because I don't see it as such, but it's the most, it's a holistic approach to life.
Yes.
So that's how I view it.
Describe it. That's wonderful. So I guess, well, I have lots of questions. For people who are new to yoga and they've heard your story, or they've heard other stories about how healing and beneficial it is, do you have any advice for them getting into it as far as like what they can expect starting out or what they should be doing starting out?
I highly, 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 and I can't emphasize this enough, is for them to find, first of all, a highly qualified teacher and an alignment-based yoga. Alignment is so important to building a strong foundation in yoga. And it's to find classes that are smaller, not where they're huge, because you can get more individualized instruction and the teacher can kind of hone in on you if your alignment is off, because sometimes in yoga, an inch can be a mile. I've heard a lot of students of my own and people who've come to me who've experienced injuries in yoga, and it's usually been in large group classes and they're not really understanding the foundation and the technique, and alignment is very key when we're practicing certain postures in yoga. So that's my advice to people starting out, is to find a highly qualified teacher, an alignment-based yoga practice such as Iyengar or Anusara. Those types of yoga practices are very much focus in on alignment, and that's
awesome.
Important.
I think that's really, really good advice for people starting out. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt yourself right out the gate because you're training with people who aren't qualified, because
exactly.
It's not going to maximize your healing from the experience. I guess my next question is, you know, you talk about yoga kind of, there's a lot of talk about yoga, bringing people into the present moment and bringing them into conscious awareness and really helping them to empower themselves. And so I just wanted to hear firsthand from you about the healing experience, about how yoga helped you through those really tough times.
Wow. I consider yoga having saved my life, really. When I got back on my mat and started practicing and really learning, you know, as we're on our mat, you learn to stay in integrity through a posture. You learn as you're balancing and you're working on your alignment and you're working all of these different things, you have to maintain integrity in a posture. Otherwise, you fall out, and that's okay as long as you fall out with integrity and awareness. The same thing in life. You can carry the teachings of the mat and what the yoga is teaching you on the mat off the mat. So when you're working on a posture and you're kind of tweaking it and this and that, and you're learning to stay in the present moment, you can't be anywhere else when you're going through a yoga sequence or working on a posture, because you will be off balance. You can't. So yoga keeps you in the present moment. As a teacher, when we say to our students, stay with your breath, why do we say that? Because it's always happening in the present moment. And when you're doing that, you're gaining body awareness so that you don't go too far. You're learning to honoring your edge. So there's so many metaphors that we learn on the mat that we can take off the mat with our breath. If you find yourself in a stressful situation, I challenge anyone to try to be angry, stressed, upset, mad, whatever it is, taking long inhalations in and long exhalations out. It's impossible. if you do that long enough, let's say you're in a situation that is stressful, you will find yourself starting to immediately calm down. You'll just start to calm down. Your central nervous system starts to get into equilibrium, and suddenly you find it's not so stressful. It's okay. So coming back to, like I said, the breath is so key in every aspect of our life.
Absolutely. How long did it take you to get back on your mat after you experienced the passing of your brother and your dad?
Gosh, it took me a while. I would get on it sporadically, and then I would reject it. Yeah. I went through that period of time where I couldn't eat because I was so full of grief, and I couldn't really do things that brought me any kind of joy because there was a certain guilt attached to it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things that reminded me of my brother because we, since 2008 when he was diagnosed and 2012 when he passed, we would do yoga together. I would do yoga with him, and he started his yoga practice in 2008 when he was diagnosed. So things that reminded me of him, now I have a home practice, a very strong home practice, but we would go to the studio together and I would look in the mirror and he wouldn't be behind me. So it was painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since I've learned, you know, that the way we honor those who pass before us is the way Cassandra describes it in the book, is by living our best life. And
yes.
It was almost like what you were saying earlier, and in truth, to what's in alignment with our truth. And nobody can define that for us. We can only define that for ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think that's just really important. Everybody out there, you know, when we go through these intense losses and heartbreaks, it's okay if you lose yourself, and it's okay if it takes you a while to get back to yourself, but just don't give up on yourself. I think that's the most important part. We are heading to the break right now on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. When we get back, I will be wrapping up the show with author Nina C. Payne, talking more about yoga and healing from grief and loss. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Hold on, Selecta!
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Allie Katz. Join Allie and Dr. Pat as Allie introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Allie, visit ATOZENmeditation.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Cherish, cherish.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. That's our producer, Brian, crushing it with some Madonna. I am here with Nina C. Payne, author of Moments in Time, and we are going to wrap up the show by talking about gratitude and yoga and healing and loss. And so, Nina, I guess I just wanted to start out by saying one of the themes, I think, in your message is that everything happens for a reason, and that through our suffering, we can find strength that we didn't know that we had. Would you agree that that's kind of how your experience has played out?
You know, yes and no. I don't know that things necessarily happen for a reason. I guess it can be viewed in that way. I don't think there was any rhyme or reason for why so many things, well, I don't want to just say in terms of my brother, but, you know, when you go to children's hospital and you see little children getting cancer and stricken with different illnesses, but I think things happen in life as they should. And the reason I say that is because that's the way they happened. And I get funny looks when I say that to people, but they happen as they should. And really, they happen to show us more of who we are. You know, what are we going to be? What are we going to become? How are we going to react? Are we going to rise up from this? Are we going to be victims? Are we going to be victors? Those are our choices. And we always have a choice in every moment in time. Title of my book, How Are We Going to React to the Circumstances in Our Life? So that's the important message. And one of the messages I like to get across to for people is learning to judge less, to become less judgmental. We don't understand sometimes what's on the other end of somebody's anger or somebody's pain or somebody's heartache, because we haven't traveled that. And even though we all, as humans, go through tragedy and go through loss and go through grief, the experience is different. So no matter who we encounter in life, if something is coming at us in a way that seems negative, to understand not to take it personally.
Yes.
And to try not to judge someone else and their walk and their path in life, because it's not for us to judge. Everybody needs to live their truth. And for us, whether we agree with it or we don't agree with it, the best possible thing we can do is wish that person well and to be gracious and to, you know, just to offer our best to them, if that makes sense. I'm trying to kind of...
I absolutely agree. One of my favorite quotes... Yeah. Circulating the internet on memes is everybody out there is fighting a battle you know nothing about. So
exactly.
Be kind.
And
I think that's a really powerful message. And certainly going through grief and loss gives you more compassion for other people in this strange way, because it connects you to like that deeper level of human suffering that we all have gone through in some way, whether we're conscious of it or not. I wanted to bring up a little bit more about yoga. And just kind of wrapping up the show by saying, you know, yoga can be this incredibly healing practice. For people who have been through grief and who are looking for help, but they don't know maybe, you know, what to do, do you have any advice for them about what they can expect when they're going through the yoga, like these breakthrough feelings or these like intense emotions coming out or catharsis from the energy flowing? Do you think that this is a common experience?
Yes. You know, I think that for each of us, where we tend to carry our stress is in different areas of our body. For some, it could be in the hips, for some in the neck. I mean, when people are feeling that, you know, pain in their neck or in their hips or in their chest, and yoga really does address these issues by opening up and freeing, and not just, you know, the physical discomfort, but the emotional discomfort that we go through. It helps liberate those areas and open them up and free them up so that the energy is not stuck in that area. It starts to flow. And also it's about taking baby steps, you know, and just, you know, giving it, yes, when you first get onto your mat, if you've never practiced yoga before, you're going to feel discomfort because you're working areas of your body that you've never really worked before, and you're tapping into certain areas of your body that are maybe, you know, hiding places for anger and stress and sadness and grief, and you're opening, but just to have confidence and trust that those areas are opening up and being allowed to release as you go through, you know, the process on your mat.
That's huge. So is it okay to cry during yoga?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you the times when I remember one of my first experiences when I was in a yoga class and we were in final Shavasana, tears were just streaming down my face, and I really didn't understand why, and I realized I didn't have to. It was just a healing process that my body was going through, and I learned to accept it and surrender to it and to allow it, and I'm not typically a crier, so it was very cathartic for me and very healing for me to experience that.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not really a crier either, but I have definitely had similar experiences in yoga, and it's a funny way of drawing your presence and your attention to these parts of your body that have stored all of these pent-up emotions without even consciously being aware of it, and then releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be such an intense process, but my advice to listeners is don't shy away from the intensity here, because this is part of your healing, and this is part of helping you to have a relationship with your pain. When you lose someone close to you, and I'm sure, Nina, you will agree, the pain never goes away. It's always there, and it's always, but it changes over time, and your relationship to the pain changes over time. But living in a sense of denial or a belief that the pain isn't there, so you're going to ignore it and you're just going to pretend it's not there because it's too hard to deal with, that's not an effective coping strategy. That will lead to more pain. But having a relationship with your pain, recognizing and acknowledging your pain is there, and accepting the fact that that pain might always be there, but you can still continue living, and that's okay. I think that that's so important for going through grief, and yoga is a way of helping to strengthen that relationship and allowing yourself to be present with the pain.
That was so beautifully said. I love that relationship with the pain. I've described it as embracing the pain, and it wasn't until I learned to do that that I was able to live a more authentic life and a more free life, and understanding that life is an ebb and a flow, and there's going to be pain, and there is going to be joy, and there's going to be equilibrium, and to just kind of go with it and ride it like you would a wave. It's going to come, and it's going to go, and when it does hit you, you just need to be there. And like you said, you need to be present with it, not resist it, because if you push it down, that's the danger, because if you don't deal with it now, you will deal with it later. And when you deal with it later, it's usually a kill shot that comes pretty strong and hits you pretty hard, so you may as well deal with it now.
Yes, exactly. Nina, thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about some really deep and intimate topics, and thank you for putting yourself out there to the world and for sharing your experiences. I think it's been really powerful to have somebody who's that raw and emotional and incredibly healing for the other people who are going through the same thing and maybe don't have the language. I only have a couple minutes left, like 2 minutes, but do you have any closing thoughts or pieces of advice for our listeners that you would like to share?
Yes, kindness, compassion, gratitude for self and for others. And you'll see your life just completely transform. We need just simple principles.
Absolutely.
That would be it.
It's funny how the energy that you carry in your heart and what you put out the world, energy really does flow where the attention goes. And when you give your attention to those kinds of things, it comes back to you tenfold. And it makes you happy, and it makes other people feel happier too. I always say gratitude and love will set you free. And I had psychic medium Bill Phillips on the show a couple months ago, and he said, you know, love is what survives after death. And I just love that. So I want to thank my guest today, Nina C. Payne, for sharing such inspiring and healing information. And I want to thank you all for tuning into Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. Please join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on KKNW 1150 Seattle and WBLQ 1230 AM, broadcasting from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. You can find me at thelucidplanet.com and also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Next week on Lucid Planet Radio, I will be interviewing Missy Woolridge. She is the director of Dance Safe, which is a nonprofit public health organization promoting the health and safety within the nightlife and electronic music community. Many of you know that I'm a big participant in the Transformational Festival and music community, and this is something I'm really passionate about. So stay tuned, have a great week, light and love, and I will see you next time.
Bye now.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.